This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. We are live in Peoria, Arizona, Mariners Spring Training Complex. A beautiful day outside. The sun is out finally, Dave. It is warm. It's very windy, though. I would advise those of you who are watching on the video stream, keep an eye on the two stands behind us, the two Seattle Sports banners behind us, because they've gone down a few times. Good chance you're going to see either Dave or me or both of us get whacked in the back of the head with at some point.
It's going to be me. I mean, that's a
you'll be the guy that gets injured.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. So that could be a video treat for everybody. But man, we open the show once again in fine fashion every Thursday. We generally talk to this man at 4 o'clock, but he is with us on the line right now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is the GM of your Seattle Seahawks. John Schneider is with us. John, how are you, man?
Gentlemen, Dave.
There you go. Good start.
He reversed it.
How you guys doing?
How you doing?
We're good. We're good. You know, we're out here in Arizona. We're covering Mariner spring training, but we're keeping an eye on you. We're looking on Twitter last night, and the Seahawks tweet out a picture of you and Pete and your whole crew there in a room with C.J. Stroud, and says, you know, the think tank or some, you know, the summit there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're in the midst of Ohio State, Alabama, and Kentucky. We're actually at the airport, Tuscaloosa, right now. Headed to Lexington for Kentucky's Pro Day tomorrow. So, you know, Ohio State and Alabama, we just got done at Alabama. You talk about two great programs and, you know, tons of prospects, great coaches, awesome atmosphere, and, yeah, two really great productive days for us here.
Yeah, give us a number, John. Like, how many different guys? I mean, those schools are loaded, like Georgia, LSU. I mean, typically you're getting how many guys you look at? Like, is there like 10, 12?
So Ohio State, you know, it depends. Some guys are, you know, a little banged up. Some guys are getting small season surgery, you know, getting ready for the spring and everything. So Ohio State, you know, you're talking, you know, 12 guys. Alabama here, there's probably 15 to 18. So really, you know, just a really good crop. It's really cool seeing the character of these guys. Just really good guys the last couple of days. So it's been awesome.
You know, we were talking about it last night, John, and Dave brought up a really good point that, you know, when you're going to Alabama or when you're going to Ohio State, everybody goes, oh, they're looking at C.J. Stroud. Oh, they're looking at Bryce Young. They're looking at, and then, you know, he brings up the obvious that, yeah, there, you know, there are some guys that are going to be drafted in the second round, in the third round, in the fourth round from these schools. So, you know, I think we all forget about that because we're so keyed in on the stars of those schools. But were there any surprises? I know you probably won't throw names out there, but guys that maybe had some idea of that caught your eye that could be later round guys at Ohio State and Alabama?
Sure, absolutely. You know, both schools. And you know, like I've talked to you guys before about, you know, we're constantly trying to get these questions answered on guys. And you know, some guys have done it in a real strong manner, and some guys have just, you know, been okay. That happens. You know, some guys will try to redeem themselves with more workouts along the way or private workouts. But no, I mean, it's been cool the last couple of days. And, you know, like you talked about last week, I mean, I think, you know, the focus of having the fifth pick in the draft is you know, why, you know, you need to be ready and doing as much of your due diligence as you possibly can and spending as much time at the schools as you can. And today was especially cool, you know, seeing, you know, Coach Saban and Coach Carroll hanging out, you know, two iconic coaches. So it was pretty awesome seeing that.
Well, and the other thing, John, you know, for you, I mean, you're looking at guys, you're just doing your job. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, you're getting information that maybe can, you know, even 2-3 years down the road, you'll be like, yeah, I remember I was at that guy's pro day. I mean, you're just compiling. Do you have like a file on these players, just keeping track of everybody, you know, in case they get cut or something?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you know, free agency in, you know, 4 years, 5 years for some of these guys. But, yeah, you know, we're trying to establish relationships as we go. And, you know, it's really interesting how fast those 4 years go. And you know, it was pretty cool today at Alabama. You know, DJ Fluker worked out and spent time with us. And, you know, we're thinking, holy cow, I mean, that time just flies. You know, it feels like yesterday he was just coming out of school and interviewing at the combine. And, you know, here he is today. He was in great shape, had a nice workout. So it was great to see him. But, yeah, reestablishing some relationships and, you know, forming new ones for guys that may be free agents in a couple of years. And, trying to get as many of those questions answered that we need to get answered by the time we get to the draft.
Hey, John, how common is that to see a guy that's had a long career in the NFL that's trying to get back or, you know, coming off injury or something? We read about Cam Newton working out at Auburn's Pro Day, and you just brought up DJ Fluker. Maybe not all those guys make news the way, you know, Cam Newton does, but is that pretty common each and every year when you go to these things? You'll see somebody that's trying to reestablish their career?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's a great reflection on the schools, you know, just, you know, welcoming those guys back and trying to help them with their careers and like you said, Auburn, Alabama, you know, we have guys, you know, working out every year. There was a receiver here today that worked out that, you know, had an unfortunate injury last year in Baltimore's training camp, so he worked out for everybody. And so, yeah, it's a great opportunity for a lot of guys. And, you know, like I said, these schools in particular are great about, you know, welcoming their players back and, you know, considering them family. So it's great to be able to see those guys and great to see that, you know, have that exposure to them and, you know, instead of, you know, every time to, you know, fly away across the country to work them out in Seattle.
Hey, John, so tell us a little bit about Devin Bush and what you liked about him. One of the things I said is, you know, when you get a chance, like, for a fresh start for him, you know, I mean, he's got that tag of being the first rounder, and they moved up to get him, Pittsburgh did. But, you know, it's kind of like a fresh start for him. And tell, you know, is that the case? Do guys typically, you know, feel that way? And what do you think about him as a player?
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. Fresh start, you know, especially for, you know, some former first round draft picks. You know, tenth pick or something like that. And I think it's you know, like we talked about last week. You know, there's stages of free agency, and you know, things move awfully quick. And some agents make, you know, decisions quicker than others. We were able to get in with Devin and Julian in a very, very fast manner, like within, you know, 3-4 hours. And so being able to sign both those guys was huge for us. Not something that we necessarily, you know, thought would happen in that short time period. But as a player, Devin, you know, for obviously an instinctive player, really talented college player, you know, the thing that stands out this past year is the way he'll strike you. He can really take on guards. He's not afraid to throw his body around, and he still has that, you know, that short close about him, closing the distance and like playing with good angles, and, you know, again, the good eyes. It'll be fun to see him fit into our group here.
Well, and you said, John, that it happens pretty fast. So, I mean, you guys already had an idea, obviously. So what kind of prep, you know, takes place before you sign a guy in free agency? Is there, you know, make sure you get the medical, you know, records and all that stuff? And just kind of take us through that process of signing a free agent.
Right. Great question. So you have everybody lined up, you know, for agency meetings. We had them end of December, early January. So, you know, we basically put together what looks like a draft board in that regard. And then when you're at the combine, listening to people and talking to agents and Senior Bowl and whatever, you know, people are talking about, you know, who's going to be going where and what they're looking for. And, and then once that 3-day window starts, is really when you get into specifics of, you know, yes, you know, we would be interested in the Seahawks. Yes, you know, this is going to be our, you know, salary range. And then, sometimes you feel like you can hang with those guys during that three-day window. These were two guys that we didn't necessarily, you know, see us being able to hang with. And from a salary range area. And, you know, they both were very interested in the Seahawks, and we moved quickly to acquire both of them. Julian, I think you guys will love Julian too. He's a, you know, super instinctive player, great eyes, great vision, highly, highly productive guy, Notre Dame and with the Giants. And he's going to be fun on your radio shows and all that.
Hey, John, we talked to you before about Bobby Wagner. You know how it is out here. The fans are very interested. Quandre Diggs is very interested if you follow him on Twitter and others. Does the signing of Devin Bush have an impact on what you may do or not do with Bobby moving forward?
No, you know, we've been talking to Bobby what I can tell you is we'll see, you know, what shakes out, see how this goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, so a little bit more on Julian. Guys,
everybody knows how much respect we have for Bobby and what a major player he's been for the Seahawks and what, I mean, he had a great season this last year. And yeah, you know, I think there's, you know, we're just, we'll continue to speak with him and stay in touch and you know, see how this goes.
Yeah. Hey, he's a guy who we shall not name because he doesn't even have a picture on the website, but he does work with you very closely. He's a financial guy. How often, I don't even want to mention his name, but how often, you know, when you're doing free agent things, are you constantly consulting him on, you know, hey, what can we do here? And what's the sort of, just in general, what's the sort of back and forth with you and
sure.
that guy I just mentioned?
No. Hey, absolutely. He would be the conscience for Pete and myself. You know, I'm in his office a ton, you know, especially during this time or when we're negotiating, you know, our big contracts. I think sometimes he probably gets tired of me, like, eating my lunch at his desk and, like, leaning over him and, you know, like, hey, what does this look like? Asking the question. What does that look like? Can we do this? Can we do that? If not A, then B, then C. How does that fit? What does it look like for the future? You know, Matt does an amazing job in really trying to make us, be compliant with our salary cap, compliant with all the rules in the National Football League and that we have to adhere to. And, not getting us in a situation where, as you guys have seen throughout the years, being able to help us, you know, put a product on the field that is a consistent championship caliber team. It's not, all chips in one year and that sort of thing. We try to stay as balanced as we possibly can with being able to take advantage of certain time periods with other players' contracts throughout the league and as well as managing our own in terms of extensions. And Matt does a great job. He would hate it that we're talking about this right now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm doing it, because I want to annoy him.
Yeah. He's so nice to us.
Don't the young kids say something like, you know, keep my name out of your mouth or something like that?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Hey, John, we're speaking with John Schneider, by the way, the John Schneider Show here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. One move that kind of caught Dave and I both by surprise, because he was a guy we praised all last season in a year where the defense struggled. There were no secrets about that, but just felt like Al Woods was really a solid, you know, a rock out there. And you guys made a move. He's no longer with the team. Can you tell us what led to that decision?
Yeah, Al's situation was really cash and cap. Everybody has a cash budget in the NFL. You know, you need to work within, and every team's, you know, probably slightly different. Although we may show, if you go to like websites or whatever and say, hey, you know, where are the Seahawks with their salary cap? There's a lot of budgeted items that fall into that as well. When you talk about incentives, pregame roster bonuses, injuries, we have Jordan Brooks and Brian Monet who unfortunately are going to miss some time here, kind of counting against their cap as well. And so you have to, there's a whole, you know, there's a ton of different accounting mechanisms that go into this thing. And we just felt that at this time, you know, we wouldn't shut the door on Al coming back. You know, we need to create some space to try to get something done. And, we're still working through some of those issues and how we can use that cap room and the cash effectively. And, we've gone for it here. We haven't been this aggressive in free agency, but we thought with the defensive line class and, the younger players, Bush and, and Julian. I say Jay Reed like he's an old guy now. How crazy is that? Like he's, what, 30 years old or something? And, you know, he's still a young man. So, but no, we were pretty aggressive there, you know, our first week. Draymond and Jordan and Julian and Jay Reed we were aggressive, and so you have to you know, balance yourself out. And Al's an amazing person, amazing player, great leader. Those calls are not fun. We talk about every year making tough decisions, and you know, those are the tough, ugly decisions that we have to make in order to keep this moving this thing forward. And like I said, both Kate and I spoke with Al, and we won't shut the door on his return.
Yeah, you know, I know on cut down day, you're always kind of in a little bit of a remorseful or bad mood, you know, because I mean, that's got to be tough for you. I mean, you know, you're talking about families and things like that. I mean, that's probably the biggest downside as far as your job goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, when you're talking to somebody that never even sniffed the National Football League level, you know, when you're talking to these talented guys that have worked their tails off over the years and, you know, have accomplished a ton of goals, you know, we have so much passion for these guys and so much, we care about these guys so much. And, you know, we talk about our support staff, you know, like everything that they do for all the players, and, you know, DK and Mo and Dave and Strick and Sam and all these guys. Unfortunately it has to come to an end at some point. And, not fun. The 53 cut down weekend is the worst. They, you know, my former boss, God rest his soul, Ted Thompson, would literally, you know, when we were in Green Bay, would literally like get the flu every time we went to, you know, got to the 53 weekend. You know, I was like, I can't believe we have to, you know, let all these guys go. And so, Ted taught me a lot about, you know, just the approach and when you talk to individuals and, you know, how to handle them, you know, correctly and try to, you know, coach them up, you know, and show as much empathy as he possibly can. Part of the job. It just is. It's just, you know, the reality of the NFL.
Well, John, what about the other side of that, though? The moment you get to tell a kid who's maybe at the end of the roster, who was nip and tuck through training camp, you know, he wasn't sure if he was going to make it or not, that they're going to find their way onto the roster. That's got to be incredibly satisfying.
It is. That part is very fun. I remember the first guy I was able to do that with is a guy named Lenny McGill, who scouts for the Raiders now, was a rookie free agent with us in Green Bay. And my boss, Ron, at the time was like, I know he's your guy. You can go tell him that you made it. It's cool. You know, I was like, oh, sweet. That's awesome. Yeah, very fun. That's definitely a blast. But, yeah, you don't necessarily want to tell guys they've, you know, made the team or 53 either, because, you know, we're so aggressive with trades and waiver claims and such as you're establishing your practice squad. You know, sometimes you can tell guys, you know, hey, congratulations. And then, you know, 2 days later, you know, somebody becomes available on the wire that you need to, you know, a different position or something you need to address. And so you have to go back to them. So you have to be very careful that whole week. You know, you're trying to show as much empathy and respect as you possibly can to these guys that have been, you know, working their tails off and competing at a very high level.
Hey, John, kind of similar question as with your interaction with Matt. What about, you know, last year when we talked to Clint Hurt, he said, you know, I have a really healthy relationship and respect for our personnel department. But as far as coaches go and, you know, what kind of players that they need and, you know, for this scheme or this defense, what's that interaction like during free agency time?
Well, it's fast. We ask the guys to be, you know, they're prepped. They know what our free agency board looks like. And then we ask them to be as, you know, as pliable as they possibly can in terms of the speed of the process, because you don't know how fast it's going to go at specific positions. Like we knew this year that the D-line was obviously going to go fast because there weren't the numbers compared to other positions. So D-line and O-line, and I think you'll continue to see that over the years, next several years. So we asked those guys, you know, to be very, to be kind of on the ready, like, hey, you know, if we do this, then that means this, or if we sign this guy, that means this. And so our staff does a great job, both the personnel staff and the coaches, you know, like we've talked about before, we try to have no walls at all in there so that, you know, we can just be all on the same page and get to a resolution on situations as quickly as we can, because like I said, that time period is crucial. It really flies.
Hey, John, just back to your recruiting, or not recruiting, your scouting out here. You're going to all these different spots, Alabama and Ohio State and all of that. What is it like interacting with those coaches? I assume you've got established relationships, but are some more receptive than others or more forthcoming than others? I remember, you know, Doug and Richard alluding to the fact that Harbaugh wasn't great at promoting them, or maybe didn't do as much as they thought he could have. Do you find that to be a common thing, or what's that like, the interaction with the coaches on these trips?
They're great, but you know, all these schools, the coaches are all out there and they want to help the players as much as they possibly can. You know, our area scouts take a ton of pride in the background and using the, you know, developing sources and having relationships throughout the year at the school. So you have to be careful with these at pro days and these types of school visits where, you know, it's not all, just sunshine, right? It's all, you know, you got to be careful that not you don't get, you know, just all the positives and no negatives on guys. So you're trying to get a true picture of the person. Some people at schools are a little bit more willing to do it than others, but, you know, like I said, we really rely on the area guys to be the experts in terms of the person and the background and the character, and then any off the field stuff. We're heavily relying on, George Englebright and Mo, as well as, you know, all the information that they can glean from our area, I guess.
Yeah, and John, I don't know if you know what your schedule is like, but how many more pro days do you think at what point do you kind of shut that down and then get back home and start to go, okay, let's build our board?
Yeah, well, we're constantly building the board. We're working on that all the time. We've had the last two weekends in there, which has been great. It's quiet. We're able to just, you know, totally study and work through different position groupings and different rounds. And so those two weekends have been great. We're headed to the owners meeting this weekend. So we have league meetings Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then Tuesday night we're headed to Texas Tech. And then from there we're going to go to Florida. And then after that, we'll be back. I think I have one more after that. But other than that, it's really just really hunkering down in the draft room. And we'll be bringing guys in on their 30 visits and spending time with them. And we'll have our local pro day as well. It's going to go really fast. I mean, this time flies. So you need to be doing a really good job of managing your time and being efficient with your travel.
Well, John, before we let you go, it may have slipped by me, but did you hit us with a movie quote in there somewhere? Did I miss it?
Yeah, I got one in there. I think it was, yeah, no, and if I didn't, I apologize, because it's all about the ball bearings.
It's all Fletch. Ball bearings.
That's Fletch.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought the listeners were supposed to guess, not the hosts.
Oh, I thought we were guessing.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, you guys are guessing. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, you stumped us before, so I think us and the listeners are in this together, John. We're doing it together.
Well, but Dave stumped us on, you know, Saturday Night Live skit. We're thinking about movies, right?
Yeah, right. But it was your favorite character. I mean,
it is. That's true. That is true.
Tommy Boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We appreciate
your
luck,
time,
man.
And I'm sure it's really rough, in Scottsdale, time of the year. Where are you? Are you in Scottsdale?
Peoria.
Oh, Peoria, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm sure it's really cloudy and cold, huh?
Well, it actually has kind of been. It was raining and cloudy and cold.
Yeah. Really?
Today's the first sunny day.
I'm sorry. I thought it was probably beautiful there.
Yeah, it is. It is today. We're good. We're nobody struggling here. We're all good. But John, we appreciate you as always. We will talk to you next week, and safe travels out there.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, John.
There you go. The GM of your Seattle Seahawks, John Schneider, with us every single week for the John Schneider Show. Appreciate that conversation. And if you guys tuned in the middle of it or missed it, came in at the end, it'll be available on the podcast page for you at seattlesports.com after the show. So make sure you check that out. A reminder, our coverage of Mariners spring training is presented by Alaska Airlines and Kitsap Credit Union. Coming up, we got some sports news to get you updated on. Plus, we'll give you some reaction to what we just heard from the Seahawks GM. All coming your way with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Once again, our thanks to GM John Schneider, who joined us in the previous segment. In case you guys just tuned in, that conversation will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. What are you pointing at?
Adam Ray just said to me, that was a great question,
it
Dave.
It doesn't count. Yeah. It's not on the show.
Yeah, that counts.
You can't beg for great questions. They just happen. You can't do it, Dave. A reminder, our coverage of Mariner spring training is presented by Alaska Airlines and Kitsap Credit Union. Let's take two.
We have some injuries popping up around Major League Baseball. Phillies first baseman Rhys Hoskins was carted off the field today after suffering a left knee injury while he was attempting to make a catch in the outfield grass in the second inning. And Adam Wainwright apparently suffered a groin strain during the WBC. The Cardinals announced today that he'll spend several weeks on the IL.
That's a bummer. Another WBC injury.
Yeah, he's an older dude. I don't know if that's why it happened, but it's... Yeah, it stinks. Again, there's a contingent of fans. They're like, oh, the WBC, why do it? You're putting your employer season in jeopardy. I'm not on that side of it, but it is unfortunate to hear about it when it comes to Edwin Diaz and now this and Altuve. Not so unfortunate, but yeah, it's sucks.
Well, I just. It was so much fun. The WBC was so great. I would just hate to see anything sort of cast a shadow on it, and that certainly would be it. But, yeah, the injuries are so disappointing. Don't even want to talk about it here. We're sitting here at the Mariner
camp. They don't
camp.
Exist.
Don't even want to talk about it.
All right, we'll talk about some more fun sports things. How about the NCAA tournament? Resumes in about an hour. Four Sweet 16 games start at 3:30 with Michigan State, Kansas State. Tucker, the Mariners dog, is a big fan. He keeps running around as we're talking here. And then Arkansas, UConn, and FAU, Tennessee on tap. Along with the big one, Gonzaga and UCLA, a 2-seed, 3-seed matchup. They have some history in the NCAA tournament. That is at 6:45.
I'm looking forward to watching the games. I don't know who I picked in these. I keep asking Lefko, who did I have in this matchup here? Who did I have there? He's all dialed into who everybody. Well, Brent's got this person, and you picked this team, and they've got this team. I don't know.
Brent's a dirty Canadian.
Yeah.
Can't have him winning this thing, man. I have no idea. I don't even know what bracket I submitted. I had one originally that was UCLA, and then did Marquette lose?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you, I had Marquette. Part of it because of Shaka Smart.
Yeah.
And because they were on like a hot streak. And yeah, it's just terrible. So I'm not paying attention. Like I said yesterday, why? Because my bracket sucks.
Shouldn't take the enjoyment out of the tournament for you, Dave.
Yes, it should.
Still ball to be played, so we'll be watching that today. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. So we did talk to John Schneider in the previous segment. Interesting just to hear their take, on Al Woods. That was sort of the curious move initially. We were both kind of like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, salary cap situation, and he said not closing the door on his return, which to me implies maybe Al still wants to play, obviously. We'll see what happens. We sort of speculated maybe he's going to be 36, you said. Maybe he's done.
Could
with
be.
That. Who knows? But an interesting move. But, yeah, the salary cap, and he made a point to say the numbers we see online, they don't always represent what reality is behind the scenes.
Yeah, and if you're Al Woods, if he plays for, the veteran minimum or, maybe they give him, $2 million, I hang around, play football for another season, make a couple million dollars, might sound good to him. Otherwise he's going to go back and have to get up at 4 a.m. and work on his farm.
I think he likes that. When we talked to him, he did not. That didn't sound like a grind, like you unloading the dishwasher. Something he embraced.
That's a great comparison, Bob.
A grind is a grind.
Yeah. I don't get up at 4:30 in the morning for that.
That would be great to see you do it, though.
Well, one of the things, though, that You know, and I've heard this from John for a number of years, and I don't know if he caught that. He said, you know, his former boss, Ted Thompson, who passed, that he would literally get sick on the cut down day because, you know, it just made him sick. And I remember talking to John, he gets emotional about it. I mean, he hates it. He hates that part of it. And I think because of that, that really comes through. So that when you do cut a guy, the door's open. They know how much, you know, how hard of a decision that was for him. And, you know, and that's why they get guys back. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. It's consultation of, you know, Mr. Wizard, we'll call him. How about that?
Yeah.
The salary cap guy.
The man who shall not be named.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So, but, yeah, just the fact that they're compiling information on players that might come back into the fold for them.
Yeah, and I thought he, you know, I tried to put a positive spin on it and say, well, you know, it's got to also be gratifying to tell a kid who's at the end of the roster who's just, you know, nip and tuck battle on the bubble guy, so to speak, you made the team. Yeah, that's great, but you got to be careful with that because sometimes they'll see somebody get cut from another roster, they want to add to their roster, so maybe that person you just told, hey, you made it, you're going to tell them 3 days later, yeah, we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes you kind of forget about that.
Yeah. Well, and then when we get to the cut down days, we won't have John on, but that's when they really get kind of, you know, like they don't want the media talking about certain players because, hey, don't talk this guy up, which I don't know any scouts that really sit and listen to TV.
Except for us.
I mean, well, they listen our to show and me and Rabel during the broadcast, like, that guy's playing really well. Don't say that. We don't want everybody else to know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting just at the end of these guys' careers and how, you know, I think the Seahawks are probably the best as far as keeping the doors open.
Yeah, and for the people out there wondering about Bobby Wagner and if the, you know, is that conversation still alive or that possibility alive? It sounds like it is. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But the signing of Devin Bush didn't close the door. You know, I'm not sure where that puts it, but you know, John was pretty forthcoming and saying it's, hey, you know, we're still talking and see what happens.
Well, and you heard what he said about Devin Bush, that he comes downhill, he attacks guards, and like that's what we need. And so, and I just don't think Bobby is necessarily in that phase of his career of attacking the line of scrimmage, attacking, you know, taking on big, huge guards. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to come into play. He's a great player. Everybody loves him, you know, and for good reason and all that. But just it's been since we've been talking about this thing, it's been about fit. So,
yeah, just to update people, I don't even know if we gave him the guest list for today because we came out of the gates with John Schneider, but our buddy Paul Moyer will join us at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
Cal Raleigh at 3:45, who we've seen working out every single day out here. Tom Murphy will join us at 4 o'clock, and then Ty France around 4:15, 4:30-ish, depending on meetings and whatnot. And then, of course, John Morosi, who joins us every week, and he'll be in his glory talking about the WBC. So that comes up at 5 o'clock. We've got a packed show coming your way, so make sure you stay tuned for all of that. Coming up, George Kirby was incredibly impressive last night. We'll break down what we saw. Coming up next as we continue live from the Mariners Complex here in Peoria, Arizona. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Dave Wyman made a new friend over here.
He's Tucker. Not going away. He thinks you're going to feed him.
He's standing by because he wants more salami.
Oh, no. You know what, Tucker? Because of you, now my Lunchable has one less salami. It's odd now. There's an odd number.
Oh, you actually fed him.
Yeah, give him a piece of salami.
Oh, he's not going to go away the rest of the show.
Sure he will. As soon as he gives him food. But Dave,
I don't understand what just transpired between you and me, Mike. I was saying how I have an odd thing, and you go, you just fed him. I'm like, yeah, I did.
You made a new friend, but I think now he comes to you for food, so he's not going to go away.
I'm the food guy.
Yeah,
you're the food guy. I was trying to explain to him, you know, now I have an odd number. I gave you the salami. Now I'm just going to have a cracker with cheese on it. No salami.
Well,
All right, there he goes.
The funny part of that is you're not really joking about that because you've bought the Lunchables from our lunchroom downstairs, mm-hmm. and at times it's not an even distribution of cheese slices, crackers, and meat slices.
Nothing.
And it bothers you.
Nothing steams my beans more than that, Bob.
An uneven distribution of food. Well,
and now because of Tucker.
sure. Actually, it was my idea.
Anyway. He's, what a good dog.
Saw him just devour a chicken bone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the wings. That wasn't supposed to happen, but he's still hanging around. He's still hoping for one. But, yeah, we've been told he's a... he'll hang around. He's friendly, but just don't pet him. Just don't touch him. He sits right next to us looking for more food.
But sorry, buddy. Can't do it.
The team dog, Tucker, is checking out the table, looking for those of you on the video stream. He's sniffing around looking for more. Yeah. He said, well, it's right behind your computer there. So I think that's his sniffer's working overtime. We are out here in Peoria, Arizona, site of the Mariners Spring Training Complex. Wyman and Bob with you. We went to the game last night, which was a lot of fun. We walked the stadium and just checked out all the concessions and everything out there, and really cool atmosphere. But what was even cooler was the performance of George Kirby. And again, we always qualify it. It's spring. I get it. You know, they don't have the Dodgers didn't have their full complement of starters. Mookie Betts wasn't out there and what have you. But regardless, you expect, okay, a good pitcher is going to dominate a lineup like that. George Kirby did that and then some. He goes five innings, no hits, no runs, one walk, nine strikeouts in five innings. He looks fantastic, as he did last season.
Yeah, he just phenomenal. And, you know, I was talking to the guys, I was talking to C-Raj and Bump about, I remember a spring training outing he had against the Rockies where he got hit around a little bit and his location wasn't like what we're used to. I think he had a couple of walks. And afterwards, he was like, he was mad about it, but like he was like, I know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what I did wrong. So, you know, I think that's when we talk about pitchers working on stuff, that's kind of, you know, that was one of those games. Yeah. You know, that's what you say. If the guy gets hit or whatever, oh, he's working on his new stuff. So, and Tucker's back for round two. But, yeah, I think there is a lot that you can tell from spring training. And with Kirby, I mean, that's the command is there. He had a ridiculous number as far as the number of, especially as a rookie, the number of players that the batters that he walked.
Yeah, what was it, 22 or something?
It's unbelievable.
His control, his command was startling almost for a rookie to go in there. And it was quite the opposite. I know we were praising Brash for everything he is out of the bullpen, which is just nasty stuff. But he's the one I think people forget initially got the nod for that fifth starter role. Kirby and he were battling out in spring last year. Brash got the nod and then, you know, had some command issues with, you know, a few too many walks. And then Kirby comes in and couldn't have been more opposite just in the way of command and doing it facing big league hitters for the first time. I just completely blown away by what he was able to do last year and the idea of him getting better than that this year. This rotation, barring injury, which is always the qualifier, if they can stay healthy, it's amongst the best in all of baseball. And there really isn't. I mean, if we're being honest, you know, where's the weak point in it? Might be Marco. Yeah. And even with Marco, he always keeps you in the game. Yeah, maybe he seems to have that one inning maybe where the things seem like, oh boy, it's not going to be his day. And then he reels it back in, and then you look at his stat line at the end of the day, and it's like 5 1/3 or 5 2/3, 6 innings, 3 runs. You know, quality start, he'll keep you in the game. So this 1-5 with Flexen doing what he does, sitting in the bullpen right now, is really, really impressive.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Marco. I mean, that's one guy we really haven't even talked about.
Right? Yeah.
Because he's the vet that's been around here for a long time. And, yeah, he's always, like, it just seems like his games are typically he'll give up something early and then fix it and get you a good, you know, quality starts were pretty high last year. So, yeah, it just seems like it's kind of like offensive line. You know, it's like if you're not talking about them, then everything's good. The starting rotation is really solid. And then, you know, you hear that one of the big stories in camp is Robbie Ray, the guy who just won a Cy Young 2 years ago.
Yeah, we were watching him work out the other day. That was a sight to behold.
It was impressive, man.
Watching him do his thing after every pitch. He's got the big, what looks like a big TV screen there that's showing spin rate and showing his RPMs and all this different information after each and every pitch. And just what these guys have at their disposal is impressive. And Logan Gilbert looks fantastic. We watched him work out for geez, I don't even know how long he was working out yesterday. Hours. I mean, everybody else was gone, and he was still doing his thing. Him and Ichiro. Nobody's out working those two. Ichiro still is just a maniac out here doing laps around the field, doing long toss, going through a stretching routine that goes on forever.
When was this last year, Ichiro?
Because I have to look it up. It's been a few years.
He doesn't know where else to go, I don't think. he comes here, he gets dressed up, he's got his baseball pants on.
It's a long socks.
Love of the game, Dave.
If they let you go out,
like, and he's stalking baseball,
run around at the Seahawks camp, put on a uniform, throw the ball around, would you do it?
No, I think everybody just laugh at me. You know what I would do, though? I would bring my big pads from the old days. Throw those on. Hey, guys, what's happening? I was just looking on the website. They do, I think last week, they did something where they had pictures of, you know, the time when I played. They do a player. There was Michael Jackson, and he was a little bit before me. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, when he was a linebacker for the Seahawks, when I went to UW, my recruiting trip when I was in high school, mm-hmm. I got to go out to dinner with Michael Jackson. And, it was really cool because, you know, he went to UW and everything. But they were showing pictures of him, and he had the big, huge shoulder pads. It was just for, you know, for everybody, go look at Seahawks.com.
So you're just trying to say it wasn't just you.
It wasn't just me. Like I said, I wore the pads they gave me.
Yeah. Okay.
So, right. But man, yeah, Ichiro, getting back to that, it's just incredible, his dedication. And, you know, I used to say that about, like, Peyton Manning. Like, I kind of worry about him when he retires because he loves it so much. What's he going to do? Well, you know, he's doing all the media stuff. He's really funny. But I think for Ichiro, he's like, yeah, there's nothing else for me.
Yeah. Well, listen, he's not alone. I was talking to Dan Wilson and Alvin Davis earlier. Franklin Gutierrez is part of what's going on. I mean, a lot of former Mariners out here working with the team, which is really cool to see. So, yeah. You know, by the way, 2019 technically was the last year for Ichiro. He played two games in Japan, the farewell.
Right.
You know, but his last, I guess, legit season would be 18, and even then he played 15 games. So 2017 played 136 games.
Yeah, because Mike, you were talking about, was it Tim Duncan?
Yeah.
But he only did that for like a year, right?
No, he was doing it for a few years, but I was just the year right after, and yeah, he did not know what to do. He just showed up at the Spurs facility every day.
Just
like
around.
This, full uniform, went through practices and everything.
Yeah. Did he have a role with the team, though?
It was like advisor, and he was on the bench, and
Okay.
Same kind of thing.
All right. Well, a guy I think would probably run out there if given the opportunity and a set of shoulder pads would be Paul Moyer. He's going to join us next. We'll talk Mariners, talk Seahawks, talk everything that's on his mind. Coming up as we continue live from Arizona, this is Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.